On today's show, we're talking about the entrepreneurial journey, databases, sacrifices, and company culture. Welcome, I'm Zilin Kolsat, and this is episode 9 of the Ask DK show. So this has been a really hectic week, again, hitting the ground, absolutely running, lots of sales meetings back to back, and I'm really enjoying connecting with my sales again with the company. I had outsourced it to somebody else, and I'm really energized by selling. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's important to do what energizes you. So I'm giving a talk in association with God TV this week, which is also pretty cool. We're talking about how to turn you into a social media megastar and how using social media can put you in the position where you can literally create the life that you want and sell anything that you want when you use social media properly, not just this me too social media. Okay, so let's get into it. Question number one. I'm on this path of entrepreneurship, but I don't know where to start. Where do I begin? Okay, so Ryan, thank you for your message. So you feel the calling, you want to be an entrepreneur, but you really don't know where to start. So I always say start with what you're an expert in. So if you're not an expert in anything, then you can't be an entrepreneur until you know what you're going to be an expert in, if that makes any sense. So you have to become an expert in something, and either you decide to pick something completely random that you've had no experience with, and you're going to have a really high, steep learning curve, and that's absolutely fine. But you have to be an absolute expert in that industry. So let's say you decide to, we're reading now Shoe Dog. So let's say you decide to start importing shoes from Japan. And that's absolutely awesome. You just have to become an absolute expert in importing shoes from Japan. You need to do a business plan. You need to do, you need to know your competitors. You need to know all of the costings. You have to have your financials absolutely bedded down. Then you have to get on the plane and actually go to Japan and understand all the nuances of dealing with that culture. And then literally think of everything that could possibly go wrong. And somewhere along the line, you're going to hopefully find one pain point. Now, this guy here, Phil Knight, who started Nike, he was a runner. So he comes from a background of being a runner. And he worked with his coach, who happened to be a genius, who used to dissect shoes all the time. So you come from an expertise of, you know, being a runner, working with somebody who makes shoes on the side. And when you merge that too, he had a business. Because as he says in his book, he wasn't selling. They were just talking with passion about what they loved, which was about running and performance and winning. It's all about victory. So that's the advice I can give you, Ryan, and anybody out there who wants to become an entrepreneur. You got to come from a point of knowing something. So maybe, just figure out what that is. It's not easy. But the closer it is to a point of your passion and experience, the easier it's going to be. Question number two from Connor. How do you build a database? So that's a really good question, because I'm a big fan of email marketing, and I keep saying email addresses are gold. If you can build email addresses, you've got gold, because you can literally mail them once a month, your beautiful mailers that are, you know, informative and helpful and educational. And in that way, you can convince people to work with you and build a relationship with them over time. So the way to build a successful database is pretty easy. You need to set up Facebook lead generation ads, and you direct them to, so Facebook lead generation ads gets people to fill out their email addresses to say, yes, I'm interested in your services, please contact me. So there's number one. And then you've got Google lead generation ads that need to send them to a landing page, and this landing page is beautifully designed and gets them to fill out their contact information saying, please contact me. Alternatively, you can send them to your website, and on that web page, it also says, please contact me. It's got all the information. Now, number one, entrepreneurs, I've got to tell you, once again, I was hearing from people saying, one of our clients was actually has stopped being a client because they can't afford our services anymore. And we've been sending about 40 leads a month. And they haven't been following up on those leads, you know. So like I said last week, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're struggling and you're not following up on the people who are contacting you, you're only struggling, it's your own fault. You know, I often email websites, you know, you fill out the contact form and you wonder, it's like Russian roulette, is somebody actually going to mail me back? I don't know. You call businesses, they don't call you back. So I wrote a blog on this called South Africans, Why Is It So Hard to Do Business With You? And Thomas, maybe you can just provide the link to that blog. But basically, if I'm trying to do business with you as an entrepreneur, please, 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 please contact your sales. You've got people who want to give you their money. I've got on websites that are so hard to use, and I'm sitting there wanting to give people my money, but the website's so badly designed that I literally cannot go through and transact. So make it as easy as possible for customers to work with you. Because once you've got a database, you're going to have people reaching out to you and trying to do business with you. So Connor, make sure that you are getting back to them. And then the other way that I do is if I meet somebody, I will add them to my database and then, you know, send them a link saying, would you like to, I've subscribed you to the database, you can unsubscribe anytime. And here's a link. So yeah, if you follow my tips, then at least you'll have this, a beautiful email database that you can, and anybody that I quote, I put them in the database because then I don't have to follow up on the quotes. They're getting my gentle mailers saying 9 ways to run your business using, run your business better, or 6 ways to use email marketing, or 7 ways to use WhatsApp ads for your marketing. And yeah, and then those little mailers then really, really do their job, because I end up getting probably about 10 to 15 inquiries for every email that I send out to the people asking me for quotes. Cool. Question number 3. What sacrifices have I made in the past to be where I am today? So as an entrepreneur, the sacrifice I'm making right now is not earning the same kind of salary I would earn in corporate. So if I was in corporate, I'd be earning probably 5 times what I'm earning now. But for me, it's not a sacrifice at all, because I have the absolute joy and passion of doing what I do every day and the freedom from corporate hell. Other than that, I can't really think of any other sacrifices that I've made. I mean, sure, I have to work the odd evening, and sure, my family, you know, obviously because I have a full-time job, I don't spend as much time with my kids as I want to, but I'm building something now so that I can spend. Next year, everything's gonna change. By next year, all the seed I've put in the ground has got to start bearing a harvest, so that next year I can spend more time with my kids and have that freedom that I want. But for example, like, I need to leave at 3 o'clock and take my daughter to her math lesson, and I definitely wouldn't be able to do that as a paid employee. So I do have a lot of freedoms, but it does, everything comes with a trade-off. So I'm very happy with the sacrifices that I have made. Question number 4, what type of culture do you have in your business, and how did you get to that culture? So what was awesome was, probably my first real employee, Candace Winsell, she told me that the brand of the business needs to be articulated really early on so that we hire people who are on brand. And because she was so passionate about that, she helped me to understand the value of hiring the right employees with the right personalities and the right value sets. So from the word go, we only hire people who were hardworking, energized, quick to learn, intelligent readers who could write. And so then we would teach them the whole skill set behind digital marketing. So for us, the culture that we have in our company is really, really clear. Hardworking, intelligent people who try their hardest, do their best work, and bring their A game every single day and do what needs to be done. And our clients absolutely love it. So we work with clients who are also in this culture set. So we make sure that we don't work with clients who are a-holes. And we actually have a no a-holes clause on our About Us page, which you're welcome to go and check out. Shift one About Us, our no a-holes clause. So a culture is very important for me, because culture is brand, and that is made up of your staff members. So your people are your brand. So it's important for me that I look after them. So we've got something called a Biltong Prize. So if somebody does something really well, or a client compliments them, they get a Biltong Prize. So we used to have a little Biltong shop, and they could get 100 rand of Biltong. Now they just take the 100 rand and buy whatever they want to. But the other day we got a compliment on a website, so 5 people got a Biltong Prize. So for me, it cost me 500 rand, but it's a little motivation incentive to my team, you know, just to say thank you for a job well done. So if a client gives a compliment, or if they have really good success in a project, then they get a Biltong Prize. And other than that, we look at other small ways of bringing value to my staff's day, because I want my team to feel appreciated. I don't want them to leave. I don't mind them leaving once they've reached the limits of what I can teach them, but I don't want them leaving prematurely. So it's very important that we hire the right people and that we retain them, because your customers feel the impact every time you lose a staff member. So that's really, really important for me, that we hire the right people and that we make sure that we keep them. Because I've worked at companies and it's made no sense to me how they can have such a high staff turnover. Don't they understand the impact on their customers? Also, how expensive training is, that every single new person that they hire has to go through induction, has to be trained. That means less productivity for the person that's training them. And then if they just up and leave because they're not happy, I mean, why wouldn't you want your staff to be happy? So we shoot a lot of our shots here at Pinnacle Marketing. And if you want a case study on how to make your staff happy, you must look at Carl Smyth from Pinnacle Marketing. He is an absolute master for bringing in small incentive programs and for just making sure that his staff really feel loved and appreciated. He has a really low staff turnover. And that's something that I hope to emulate in my business. So that's it for episode 9. Thanks so much for watching. I hope you found some good value. Don't forget to send me your questions, and I'll catch you for episode 10 next week. Have a great week.